everybody. We're back. I'm Karen Hartglass. It's Christmas Eve, December 24th, 2013. And I really enjoyed just listening to White Christmas just now. It took everything I had not to sing along. It was really lovely. All right, let's bring on my next guest, Dr. Tom Campbell. He is the executive director of the T. Colin Campbell Center for Nutrition Studies. He's also an instructor of clinical family medicine at the University of Rochester School of Medicine and Dentistry, a board-certified family physician. He sees patients part-time in an active primary care practice in Rochester, New York. Welcome, Dr. Campbell, to It's All About Food.
Well, thank you for having me, Karen. I appreciate the opportunity.
Oh, thank you. I'm very excited to talk to you because I've known your father for a very long time and kind of read about you along the way. And it's kind of exciting to see the path that you've chosen to take.
Yeah, I'm excited by it. I've sort of followed a path of opportunity that presents itself whenever it pops up, following whatever seems interesting at the time, and here I am now. Doing something that I certainly wasn't doing 15 years ago, or didn't even think about doing 15 years ago. But it's very fascinating to me, very interesting.
Well, we're glad to have you doing what you're doing, and I'm really enjoying to see in this plant-based world, this plant-based movement, a few of the dynasties or royal communities that are kind of coming out. So we have your father, Dr. T. Colin Campbell, and yourself. We have Dr. Caldwell Esselstyn and his son, Rip Esselstyn. We have John Robbins and Ocean Robbins, Frances Lemuel LePay and her daughter, Anna LePay. And there's a few more probably that I'm leaving out. But very exciting and so, so necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you were involved with your dad in the China study.
Yes, I started working on that in about 2001. He asked if I wanted to help him write the book, and initially I was going to just do some editing, help him sort of shape his voice and his writing. And as we got into it, I took on a much larger role. I did an awful lot of library research, and I did a lot of writing myself, very intense learning experience for me, and 3.5, 4 years later, we finished a manuscript of the China study, and that really sort of set me on this path that I'm on now, promoting optimal nutrition.
Now, when you were growing up and your dad was going through a lot of what we read about in the China study, did you know what was going on?
You know, I really was not terribly cognizant of his career, his successes, and exactly what he was doing. I remember sort of hearing, you know, there are things that were exciting now and then. I remember, you know, some big magazine coming to take some photos. You know, this was after he was on the National Academy of Sciences Diet and Cancer Committee, and you know, that's, I was like, oh, okay, someone taking photos. And then that was about the amount of time that I spent on it. And I think it was probably someone from, you know, People magazine or something. And I just had no idea.
Right.
And I had no idea. And furthermore, you know, as far as food choices went, I really just was eating, you know, what was fed to me. Like most kids, I didn't put too much thought into it.
And in writing the book, did you change your diet? Or did it
I did. I was mostly vegetarian. I was vegetarian from my adolescence. It was a slow transition, but roughly 14, 15. And then when I started writing the book, and by the time I finished the book, 10, 11 years after becoming vegetarian, 12 years after becoming vegetarian, I gave up the dairy food through the process of working with my dad on the China study. So as we were writing that and I became exposed to all the information, I made that decision to give up dairy food.
Okay, you were on a very different path when you went to college and then when you wrote this book. In fact, I think you were studying to be an actor?
Yes, yeah, I did training in theater and acting at Cornell University, and then I pursued it professionally for a couple years, had some jobs, none of them enough to make a living at it, but some money here and there, and I was a paralegal to pay the bills, And then that's when I had this opportunity to work with my dad on the China study.
Right. And then you went to medical school and became a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Something every parent wants their child to do.
Yeah.
And we need more doctors like you. So when you were going through medical school, you already knew a great deal about nutrition. What was going on around you in terms of the knowledge of other people about nutrition and health?
Well, you know, it's unfortunate. It's been cited many times for many decades, but the amount of formal training in nutrition that gets included in medical school curriculum is very, very, very small. We had at my school, which I consider to be a good school, you know, decent school, we had just a couple of days on nutrition as part of the lectures, and it was not taught by anyone with any particular great knowledge or interest in nutrition, and focused mostly on the biochemical reactions related to protein metabolism, fat metabolism, et cetera. So there was almost nothing, for example, about how diet interacts with obesity, how diet interacts with diabetes, you know, for this sort of public health urgent issues that need to be discussed simply were not taught or discussed in my education. And I can say that, you know, that's the norm, and that's been stated as the norm for many decades now. So I went into this with open eyes. I knew what I was getting into, and I just did the best I could to learn the world of medicine. It takes basically a full-time sort of life commitment for at least 7 years to learn.
Wow.
All the all the stuff that you need to know to practice medicine, and you just put your head down and I sort of did it. But
sometimes you have to play the game in order to change the game.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Did you ever stir up any trouble while going through school?
No, I didn't. I mean, I think as a medical student, those first 4 years in medical school, you're just absolutely sort of swimming to keep your head above water and you know, learn everything you need to learn and do good on the test, do well on the tests. And then in residency, I went to the University of Rochester Family Medicine residency program, and they were very supportive of my interest in nutrition and my plant-based message and the China study. So I actually had the opportunity to give grand rounds at my hospital on a couple of different occasions and gave lectures to my colleagues and that type of thing. So I didn't cause too much trouble because I tried to do as good a job as I could, you know, what I was with the things I was tasked with. My personal opinion is you don't cause, in that situation, I wasn't going to gain much by going out there and ruffling feathers. I just had a lot of stuff to put my head down and do my work.
And you have a part-time private practice now.
Correct, yeah.
Yeah, and these people, your patients, do
right.
they know that it what they're getting when they get you as a doctor?
Yeah, I think they...
I mean, do they seek you out, or do you have some surprised patients, like, what?
A few do. So, yeah, I'm with a university primary care practice, and it's a new practice that I joined. So we've only been open for, going on 6 months now, 5-6 months. And I'm not advertised as a special nutrition doctor or lifestyle doctor or anything like that. I'm just a family doc that, you know, takes care of, you know, belly pain and older adults, kids, whatever. So most of the people who come through the door do not know too much about my background or interest in nutrition. But, you know, I talk to everybody about it. Some of them want to hear more. Some don't, as you might expect.
Yep.
It's always an interesting conversation.
So you're not at the point, like some... I remember hearing that there were some doctors out there that wouldn't take patients who smoked that weren't trying to quit.
Yeah, no, I have no interest in doing something like that. I find that the most, it keeps me from a personal point of view. Actually, I gain so much by working with, you know, quote unquote normal people. It keeps me grounded, and it keeps me in touch with how people are living. We take all kinds of insurance, Medicaid, through Medicare, and everything
awesome.
In between. So I see the whole slice of society, and it keeps me very grounded with how people are living and how people interact with the environment to either promote health or sickness, and what they know about that. And that's just incredibly valuable. It keeps that grounding in that sort of real world. So
yeah.
I don't want to exclude people who don't follow the rules, before they walk in the door, so to speak.
That's good, and being grounded is really important. I know that when we spend a lot of time in our own community, like when I'm hanging out with all the vegans, you can lose comprehension of what's really going on outside and how people struggle with food, with diets, with their lifestyle, with children. It's very complicated and hard.
Absolutely. And it's easy to forget that most people have not heard anything about plant-based diets and the health benefits. I mean,
it's so hard to believe,
but it's true. And they have lived their entire lives with this incredibly personal, powerful set of habits, eating, choosing the food that you eat, and challenging someone to think differently is a humbling experience and very valuable to me and something I cherish.
Now let's talk about the T. Colin Campbell Center for Nutrition Studies. What's going on there?
Well, we have had a very exciting year over the past 6 months. I just started there about 6 months ago as the executive director, and we got a director of education. Our associate director all sort of started about 6 months ago, and we have had just a phenomenal year enrolling people, everybody from health professionals to the lay public who's interested in plant-based nutrition in our certificate program, and we offer that in partnership with eCornell. A lot of health professionals can now get professional credit for taking that certificate program from a variety of different disciplines, and the content is unique. People are excited to hear maybe something about T. Colin Campbell, or maybe they've read the China study, or maybe they read something about plant-based nutrition, and we really have a very good certificate program. So we're pushing that, and it's going very well. We also have some new courses sort of in the pipeline that we're designing and going into the studio to film and write and all this stuff, this winter. So we changed our name from T. Colin Campbell Foundation to T. Colin Campbell Center for Nutrition Studies to be a little bit more descriptive. We also made a new website. We're putting a lot of content out there on our website. It's nutritionstudies.org. And, we're just trying to get bigger, better, more audience and, cater to our audience better.
Do you think at some point there'll be like a bachelor's degree in plant-based studies?
That would be great, but not anytime in the near term. I think that online education in general has a lot of structural issues to work out before something like that happens. I mean, obviously there are degree programs out there, graduate degree programs, even undergraduate degree programs, but I think for nutrition, that's not something that we want to do. There's just a tremendous value, I think, to the years of work that go into a traditional college experience that we're just not going to replace anytime soon. So we're really looking at supplementing a traditional education and offering something that, quite frankly, you can't find at a lot of places, a point of view looking at plant-based nutrition, and not only plant-based nutrition, but asking really important questions like how do we generate information, and once we get that information, how do we disseminate it to the people, to the public? Fundamental kind of system questions that we get a chance to address. So we're happy in our little niche, and I think we'll stay here for a bit longer.
Okay, and this plant-based certification, is this something people can do online?
Yes, it's an online program. It's all online, and they can do it, you know, at their leisure. It is offered. The details are all on our website, but it's offered in 2-week blocks, 2-week chunks. So people have 2 weeks to complete the lessons and the quizzes and so forth. And there's 3 sets of 2-week courses. So there's 6 weeks total, about 18 hours of instruction, along with discussions and quizzes and an opportunity. We have live instructors that answer questions that provoke discussion, provoke thought, that type of thing.
Hmm.
And so it's all online, and it's through the eCornell platform, which is a very, very nice system.
Very good. Well, more people need to be learning about plant-based nutrition. There's no question about that. And I look forward to it being a requirement in most medical professions and dietitian professions. Yeah. Okay. Now, what do you eat, Dr. Campbell?
No one is perfect. I adhere quite strictly to a whole food plant-based diet, but I eat only plants. I'd say 99%. Occasionally if I slip up and I have a cookie or something, whether it's all a vegan cookie or something with actual butter in it. Mm-hmm. From a nutritional point of view, it's probably junk either way. But most of what I eat is fruits, vegetables, whole grains, you know, oats for breakfast, lunch of leftovers, which is usually some sort of vegetable casserole with a whole grain, and dinner with vegetables and whole grains and salads, and always trying to get in some greens in as well. And I try to eat more greens, always trying to eat more greens.
Yeah, I'm a big believer in a green-based diet.
Right.
And you have children?
No, we don't. I'm married.
Okay.
No kids yet.
Okay, so you haven't dove into the challenge of feeding kids in this world, which is a big can of worms.
It is. Yeah, I don't have personal experience. You know, as a doctor, I counsel people, but I don't do it myself quite yet.
Well, it's definitely challenging in this world with commercials and peer pressure. It's really hard to feed kids well, but more and more people are doing it, and that's good.
Yeah, I think there's certainly it's very important the examples that you set and the consistency with which you offer any sort of guidance or quote unquote rule or habit that you introduce. Consistency is very, very important. So, you know, allowing McDonald's for 1 week and then going back and having a salad every night the next week, you know, that's never going to work. You've got to be really quite consistent in the dietary message and firm, and kids will kind of learn to respect that.
So it's December 24th, Christmas Eve, but it's also the deadline for people who have enrolled in the new Obamacare healthcare market to select their plans. And do you have any feelings about this new insurance program?
You know, it's funny. I don't know that there's too many people that feel expert in the new program. And I certainly don't count myself as feeling expert in the new program.
I don't know how anyone could be one since it hasn't really taken off yet.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, it's pretty uncommon. But I think that, you know, my sense of it is that the goals are my personal sense, the goals are very good. I mean, our health insurance system is deeply broken. And, you know, I see people who are just absolutely scrambling, you know, bankrupt, have no money for health care, have to make tough decisions for treatment, seeing doctors, et cetera. And it's just not working for a large percentage of our population, too large a percentage. And so the goals of it to try to correct that are very good. I do have concerns that the program is in some ways you know, taking our current system and just trying to apply it bigger and more broadly to everyone.
Yeah.
When what we really need is a healthcare system that pays and rewards and incentivizes, you know, personal preventive care, personal responsibility for preventive care, and also reimbursing preventive care and lifestyle medicine, really treating the cause. You know, I don't know the numbers off the top of my head, but some great majority of our healthcare expense is chronic disease, and largely that's preventable and
right.
and treatable. The exciting thing is it's now treatable if you can just treat the cause with lifestyle. But yet, if I see a patient with, you know, heart disease, I cannot get paid adequately to sit down with them for an hour, or I can't get paid to take them to the grocery store and, you know, show how to shop for food, you know, appropriately.
There's something wrong with that picture.
No, I can't get, but they could be, you know, someone else can get paid $50,000 for doing a stent or a bypass. And so we really need to turn the whole system upside down. And I don't think the legislation can do that at this point.
No, but the best health insurance we all have is choosing the right foods to lower
right.
our risk of disease, and that's
right.
the number one thing that we can all do.
Right.
Well, Dr. Campbell, thank you so much for joining me on It's All About Food, and I really enjoyed hearing your story and glad you're out there doing what you're doing.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Very happy holidays to you, and say hi to your dad and your mom, Karen.
I will, and he said to say hello, actually.
Great,
yep.
Thank you. Okay.
Thanks. Bye.
All right, we just have like a minute left, and I just wanted to say happy holidays to everyone. Next week I'm going to be taking off, so I won't be able to say Happy New Year, but I'll say it now, Happy New Year. And this is a time of giving, and I do have a nonprofit, ResponsibleEatingAndLiving.com, and we certainly do welcome and appreciate your support. You can visit ResponsibleEatingAndLiving.com, go to our donate button, and help us do all the things that we're doing at REAL. And that's it. So very happy holidays, and have a delicious end of the year.